The second day Thursday included more testimony from lead crash investigator Captain Timothy Heisch. He was asked to draw the power lines that the helicopter hit when it crashed. They span 1,900 feet from a height of 36 feet on the mainland to 190 feet on James Island. The lines were used by the Coast Guard to power their own nearby marine aids to navigation. Heisch drew aviation hazard marker balls at the far lower end of the wire spans, suggesting that they had already slid down nearly out of sight of any nearby aircraft. Counsel for the government repeatedly pointed out that at the highest point, the power lines were still 10 feet lower than Federal Aviation Administration guidelines for marking or lighting hazards. Leone's counsel asserted that those very same lines were the subject of a lawsuit over whether they contributed to another pilot's death decades ago. Testimony also touched on the sectionals, or visual flight rules navigation maps used by aviators. Heisch, investigating officer Captain Andrew Norris, and counsels for both sides had both the Canadian and American maps of La Push opened up on the witness stand, trying to determine if markings for the power lines were accurate. "Where is James Island on this map?" asked Norris. "I think it's the small dot," was one response. After Heisch's testimony, Bosun's mate Second Class Kenneth Compton testified that on the day of the crash, an H-60 turned toward his 47-foot motor lifeboat and passed 100 feet overhead before heading into the wires. Then Leone's defense brought in his commanding officer, intended to counter Heisch, the government's own primary witness. Commander Doug Cameron of Air Station Sitka described how it made sense for Leone and Lieutenant Sean Kruger to do the ferry flight, take down an H-60J model to Astoria, and return with a newer H-60T. Kruger was very familiar with the J and flying in Alaska, while Leone was more familiar with the T. The publicly stated top speed for an H-60 is about 183 knots, but Heisch stated on Wednesday that Kruger and Leone exceeded the normal maximum operational airspeed of 125 knots for most of their flight. Go much higher than that without good reason for too long, and it's hard on the aircraft. Cameron acknowledged that the couplers, or a rudimentary autopilot, may have been set at 125, but it could have constantly varied between 119 and 133 knots simply because of aircraft performance and wind. And on the issue of flybys of a Coast Guard boat, Cameron says they're not unusual. They're actually traditional, like a friendly waggling of wings to a buddy or a service mate. Cameron also says flying through wildlife refuges at low altitude in Alaska is not only common, it's sometimes necessary, whether to repair an aid to navigation or use a low-level route to escape poor weather and dropping visibility. Cameron also referred to the accident board's findings about non-standard lingo and radio communications as nitpicking and suggested that a non-verbal acknowledgement of a checklist completion was possible. Cameron also said he spent 2 hours on a recent flight himself troubleshooting a radio, which is more than Leone had done on his flight. Part of the government's case involving neglect is the allegation that Leone did not fulfill some of his duties as a co-pilot, essentially not questioning the pilot Kruger for his decisions and maneuvers. But Cameron, an experienced H-60 pilot himself, suggested that a more complicated crew dynamic may have been at play in the cockpit that day. First, Leone and Kruger apparently went to the academy together, with Kruger 2 years ahead. Also, Leone had just arrived in Sitka from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, where they did things differently. Flew much higher along the shoreline, for example. He was now brand new in a challenging environment where low-level flying was sometimes necessary, while his mentor, Kruger, already had a strong, solid reputation as a good Alaska pilot. Cameron called it a perfect setup for excessive professional courtesy. The junior officer was still learning and may have yielded to the senior officer's experience on that flight. At the same time, yanking the controls away from a fellow pilot is almost never done. The highlight of Cameron's testimony came, though, when he described getting a copy of the accident report and was asked whether he preferred charges against Leone. He ultimately decided against it, but Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, the new commander of the 17th District in Alaska, apparently didn't like that. Ostebo told his subordinate that he was too close to Leone and had lost his objectivity. According to Cameron's view of one encounter, It was a, quote, classic discussion with the high-intensity Ostabo. Cameron was asked to type up his reasons for the commandant of the Coast Guard, who was expected to visit Alaska shortly. Then, this past September, Leone's orders to train and requalify for the H-60 were canceled. He was charged in connection with the crash by another officer in district command. At least a half a day of testimony expected on Friday, possibly with more explanation of the 200-foot minimum for marking aviation hazards, and then the investigating officer, Captain Andrew Norris, will consider the testimony and evidence before submitting his recommendations to Rear Admiral Thomas Ostabo. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.